We're on. Good morning again. How are we doing this morning? We're getting ready to look at aspect of our congregation in our mothers, talking about Mother's Day on this day. Well, not talking about Mother's Day, but talking about mothers anyway. Turn with me to Titus 2. Titus chapter 2, kind of towards the back of the Bible. I'll give you a minute to find it. While you're going there, I just want to mention Leviticus. I wrote this down this morning. Leviticus 19:3 says that everyone shall have reverence for their mother, right? And although Scripture doesn't talk much about Mother's Day, it certainly has a lot to say about motherhood. And so that's what we're looking at. I was looking also, as Joe read this morning, the fifth commandment, right? It says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord God gives you. It's the only commandment, by the way, with a promise. But I think it's not so much if you honor your mother and father that your days will actually be longer on the earth. I think it's rather preventing you from having your days cut short by not honoring your mother and father. I know my mom used to tell us kids all the time that she brought us into the world and she could take us out. And so I think there's a truth in that. Well, obviously, I think there's a truth in it. God said it, and so it's true. And so as we look at Titus 2 here, look at verses 3 through 5. These are the verses that we're going to be looking at. And what I want to talk about today is not so much mothers, per se, as I want to talk about the greatest resource. The greatest resource. Hear my words on this. I do not take this lightly. I want to talk to you today about the greatest resource that the body of Christ has, and this is the older women in Christ. And for today's purposes, we're just going to call them older mothers. This is a tremendous resource. Paul knew this, and so he's instructing Titus, who is the elder of the church, that look, man, you cannot take care of some needs that are in your congregation. Therefore, use the older women because they can train the younger women. And this is a tremendous resource. I'm telling you, this is the most fantastic resource there is in the church. And unfortunately, we just don't tap into it sometimes. And so we're going to look at that today, not negatively, but in a positive light. So read with me verses 3 through 5, and then we'll pray. Paul says to Titus, to everyone, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God would not be dishonored. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and there is no doubt, Father, that you have placed this resource among the saints that is indispensable. And so today, Father God, as we honor you because you honor them in the things that you have done for them and the things that you have taught them and the knowledge that you have given them and the wisdom that you have so graciously bestowed upon them. And so tonight, this morning, we want to honor you, Lord Jesus, by looking at this institution, by honoring these saints that you have given us, Lord Jesus. We want your word to go out this morning. We want it to be fruitful, Father, on this day. We want to always remember you, Lord God, that you created both fathers and mothers in your image. And so this is tremendous for us today as we look at this. I pray for accuracy, Father. I pray for your words to be spoken, Lord. I pray for your words to be heard. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you are. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. So like I said, this is such an important resource. This is a tremendous resource for us. And I can't tell you how many times I have admonished or counseled the younger women to talk to the older women. They've been through it. They've done that. They bought the T-shirt. Okay? And there's nothing that you could bring to them that would leave them in shock or without understanding. I guarantee you this, and I promise it wholeheartedly. And so we want to talk about these older women. Now, Paul refers to them as older women. If that is offensive to anyone in this room today, blame Paul. Okay, I'm merely going to use the phrase that Paul uses. Okay, like I said, Mother's Day messages can get you in a whole lot of trouble. But what we'd like to say is, it's not necessarily, maybe the good reference is not really older women or older mothers, but maybe, gosh, that's not even a good term. I was going to say seasoned mothers, but it sounds like a turkey and not a mother, right? What it really comes down to is we're talking about experience here. These women have gone through life. They have raised their children. Primarily, they are living in a single household. But they have the time and the freedom now to pour themselves out and back into their congregations. And this isn't women in the church. This is all women. If you look around in our world, and this is how God reveals himself in motherhood, is that you can't go anywhere in any culture, any place, even outside the church, even unbelievers, and not see God's graciousness and God's mercy in motherhood. You just can't. It's one of God's general revelations to us in the world, okay? And so all older women, all women with experience and wisdom possess this to some degree, even though Paul specifically is talking about women in the congregation, women that supply, build up, and lift up the church, okay? And this group includes widows, okay? Paul doesn't specifically address them here, but he does in other places. He talks about the age of widows and what widows should do and how they should and how the church should respond to them. So certainly we include all of our experience and wisdom with these older women. Look at verse 3 with me. Paul says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good." I look at the word here, this hosautos is the word here for likewise. In other words, what Paul's saying is likewise, older women are to be this. And so whenever we see likewise or therefore or any of those verses, we have to jump up a little bit to find out what he's talking about, because he's saying, in a like manner, I want older women to be like this also. And so if you look at verse 2 with me real quick, look at verse 2, it says older men, right? Speaks to older men first. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. And older women likewise, okay? So there's what Paul's talking about when he talks in the first verse. He says, I want women to be reverent. I want the older women to be reverent in their behavior. Not that we have reverence for them, but they are beyond reproach in their behavior, okay? Now, I want you to think about it like this. I don't want you to think about, okay, well, older women have to make this list of things they have to do in order to be reverent. No. What Paul is saying to Titus is, look, these older women who have been walking with God for a number of years, they have raised their children, they have went through the trials. This is the character that they will manifest, okay? Because God has manifested that in them, okay? He has manifested that in them. And he says, just like the older men and older women are to live in the same way, right? So in other words, they are to live in such a way, or they do live in such a way, that their outward expression is really just a reflection of their inner character, their imperishable quality, as Peter says. With reverence, Paul says. He says, older women, and like I said, he's really referring to these ladies that have raised their children that are now leading a more less hectic life, let's say that, okay? There is a time for rest now, whereas there wasn't time before, not all the time anyway. Doesn't mean that older women aren't busy. It just means that there's less busy without having to worry about children and all those things that come with motherhood. And so we look at this, Paul says that these older women, they possess the same character as these older men, because God has worked in them their life. They are temperate, they are dignified, they are sensible, Paul says. They are sound in their faith, they are sound in love, and they are definitely sound in perseverance. Okay? And so you younger women, not that I'm knocking the younger women here today, but your tendency is to panic and then run around with your head cut off, okay? These older women have done that, and so when Paul talks about, I laughed, that they are sound in their perseverance, trust me, they got the calm, okay? You go and see them, they got the calm. And so these younger mothers are really, if you were to look at it kind of reversely, these younger mothers should seek the advice of these older women. And these older women should generally teach the younger women. This is what Paul is instructing Titus, right? And so when we look at the character, as I just read, this temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, sound in love, and perseverance, this doesn't come generally, naturally to people, let alone women, right? It just does not come naturally. It's something that can only be gained by experience. It's something that only life can beat into you and beat out of you, okay? There's just some things that aren't going to happen before a certain age. And so it's through life and experience and time that we begin to see these fruits, right, that are produced in this kind of character. And so when you're young, right, these undesirable attitudes that you have need a little time to have them chipped away. And so these older women have been through this already. And so can I just say really that this is one of the ways that God really reveals himself in motherhood, right? Not just in the church, but generally in motherhood itself. I mean, it's a character that is unique to mothers that reveals the nature of God. When you see a mother's love, for instance, there's no way that you cannot see God's love in that. I remember thinking to myself, not at the time, even though I had those thoughts, one of the ways that God reveals himself in all mothers is through childbirth. There's no way that you can see a brand new nursing mother. There's no way that you can see the miracle of birth and not think about God's love, right? Not think about God's tenderness, not think about God's undying dedication and sacrifice, not think about the new birth, not think about how God cares for his own children. Because there's no one, okay, who cares for their children like a mother. There's no one, okay? And I know some of you fathers are going, well, the new modern age father, you know, we do all these things and we're tasked with this and that. Trust me, I don't care how modern you are or how progressive you think you are, men. All of us men who have children faked sleeping when the baby woke up at 3 a.m. Okay? You just can't get past that. You're like, oh no, I'm still asleep, you know? And your wife's like, honey, and then she'll eventually get up. But moms do things for babies, and all men know this. Moms do things for babies undying, it's amazing. Okay? And we try, but we just don't grasp that whole concept. So we can see God's dedication in mothers. And so negatively, Paul says in verse 3 that older women should not be malicious gossips nor enslaved to much wine. He uses the word diabolos. Okay? Uses the word diabolos. It's where we get our word diabolical from. Malicious gossips. Just means they shouldn't be slanderers, okay? But Paul, more importantly, says that they shouldn't be enslaved to much wine. Now, when Paul makes this statement, you have to remember he's not so much referring to alcohol here. Younger mothers and older women know this. Not so much referring to alcohol here. Sure, in context, you could apply it to alcohol. Don't be enslaved to wine. But what he's really talking about, especially for mothers, is he doesn't want them to be distracted or enslaved by anything that would take away from God's primary design for the mother, and that is taking care of the home and raising and loving their children. Okay? And so sometimes these idols come into our life. Certainly in our modern society, there's the idol of career. It's not that God ever says that women can't have a career, but when you make career your idol at the expense of your husband or children, this is where it becomes a problem. And so Paul says, don't be enslaved to much wine, or in other words, don't be enslaved to anything that would take you away from the purposes that God has designed for your life. Okay? And Paul also admonishes the leaders of the church with the same thing, right? Chapter 1, verse 7, he tells elders not to be addicted to much wine for the same reason. Your purpose is to shepherd the flock, to be servants of the flock. Don't let anything distract you from that. And he says it to all the saints in Ephesians 5, right? Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled, right, with the Holy Spirit. And so we look at this. We don't want anything to distract us from what God has designed, especially our mothers. Okay? And so make no mistake, right? Motherhood is one of the highest callings for women in Scripture. Gosh, I get tired of the world saying, well, the church this and God that. Trust me, there is no more equality than the equality of God for women. People think they're getting equality out there in the world. I'm telling you, they're not. Nobody has created men and women, especially in Scripture, more equal than God. So what's the precious thing, right, about having older women, as I said? It's not only in the church, but just having these older women, these older mothers in life, period. The preciousness here is that they pass on their virtues and their wisdom and their insight to the younger generations. Not just the younger women, but younger men. Younger men. This is amazing. Paul says here, he's passing on to the next generation. He says in verse 3, older women are to be reverent in their behavior, and they are to teach what is good. They are to teach what is good. I was looking up some of the mothers in biblical history. Think about this. God has entrusted these mothers in the Bible with raising and shaping some of the most important men and godly men that the world has ever known. It was tasked with those mothers. It was left with the responsibility of those mothers. God sees motherhood as extremely important. There was Sarah, right, who was a gift to Abraham. She was a mother and a wife who bore Isaac, right? One of the first patriarchs in a long line of godly men. There was Rachel who pled with God for children so she could fulfill her role as a mother. She produced Jacob, right? There was Jochebed, which was the Moses' mother. Remember, she fought for him, and then she ended up raising him. He became the leader of a huge nation of the Israelites. There was Ruth, who was gentle and sweet in her spirit, that God used to raise Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of King David, whom eventually the line of Jesus would come through, right? There was Elizabeth, who raised what God called one of the greatest men that ever lived in John the Baptist. Okay. And of course, there was Mary, right? The mother of Jesus, who was the Son of God. If motherhood wasn't important, if women, men and women were not equal in God's eyes, He certainly would have entrusted the most important prophets, the most important teachers, and certainly His own Son with somebody more important than mothers. Okay? But He didn't. God knows exactly what He's doing. You know, it's not easy. You think about this, and I kind of contemplated this a few times. It couldn't have been easy raising Jesus. Okay? It couldn't have been easy. I mean, if you consider that men and women don't have equality in God's eyes, then you know, it couldn't have been easy raising Jesus. I mean, God's own Son was entrusted to Mary. And I'm thinking about this. I mean, she had to raise Jesus alone. We know that Joseph died early in Jesus' life. So she was essentially a single mother with the Son of God. You want to talk about pressure. Okay? Not to mention you could never win an argument with your own son, right? Jesus was always right. I mean, if you think about it, Mary was the only one that could put one of those bumper stickers on her car that says, "My son is an honor student," and she was right. Okay? And so it couldn't have been easy, but God entrusted her with it, an ordinary woman. An ordinary woman. And so God throughout history has used ordinary women, just like us in here today, to do great things for Him. And so this is really a tremendous thing. But let me assure you that there is nothing ordinary about mothers and wives in Scripture. Nothing ordinary. Contrary to popular opinion, right, motherhood is the oldest profession. Okay? Motherhood is the oldest profession. Women in the Bible are never portrayed of a lesser value than men. Scripture makes it clear that both men and women are created equally in the image of God. In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And so men and women are equal in God's eyes, but they were created with very different roles in mind. This is really the only difference. God created different roles for men and women. Look at what it says in Genesis 2. It says, "The Lord fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" So immediately, God's design for women was marriage, okay? The ordination of marriage, that wives would become, or I'm sorry, that women would become wives and helpers, and that the men would become husbands. Right off the bat, two different roles, both created in the image of God. And then the very next command that God gives to the husband and wife when they're married is to what? Be fruitful and multiply. It's a command. Okay? Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, that is the couple, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." So motherhood has been ordained from the very beginning. You say, well, that's, you know, a gimme, right? Think about this for a moment. If God did not consider wives and mothers, if he considered them less than men, okay, then why go through the whole motion of having wives and mothers to begin with? We know there's some other biblical reasons, but think about this, okay? If it was not one of the highest callings in the human race, then think about this for a minute. God being the creator of everything, all men, right? If it was just about producing children, if it was just about bringing up the next generation, God could have made men have babies on their own, okay? There's other creatures God has created on this earth that are asexual. They don't have to have a partner to reproduce. He could have just said, look, I need to have heirs, and those heirs need to come someday in the line of Jesus, and so I'm going to make the man be able to have babies and do the whole show. Okay? But God didn't. He chose to make man, and he chose to make woman. And he chose to reveal his character and his purposes in both. Very important for us to remember. Very important. God reveals his purpose in the marriage, right? As the image of Christ and how he loves the church. And God reveals himself in motherhood as the tenderness of the Father's love for his children. There is no higher calling for women than to raise up godly generation. And Paul says the responsibility extends to these older women in the church teaching the younger women. What is good? Teach them what is good. And so this is God's indispensable design for our older women in the church, our experienced women in the church. And what a responsibility that is. And so these women are to pass on these characters, right? These character attributes, these reverence that Paul makes in here, these reverent behavior, they're supposed to pass it on to the next generation. And so there's seven attributes in here that Paul wants the older women to teach the younger women. I want you to look at them. This is obviously not an extensive list, but it is probably categorically an important list. I can think of two right off the bat. Love your husband and love your children. Okay? Those two probably, in my counseling career, are the two things that come to my office every single time. My kid's 13, he's out of control. My husband's 47, he's out of control. Okay? Those two things we talk about all the time. And so this is really important teaching, right? There's seven attributes or seven descriptions, right? If you look at me with me at the verses, there's loving your husbands, loving your children, right? Be sensible. We want to teach purity. Older women are to teach younger women how to be dedicated to home building, how to work kindness into your life, and, of course, submission, right? Those are the seven things. Why are these so important? Why are these things so important in this whole process? Why is it important that these older women pass on these attributes to the younger women? Look at verse 5 with me, the very end of verse 5, and I want you to listen to this because this is the most important aspect of these three verses, okay? Look at the end of verse 5. Paul says, to be sensible, pure, workers of the home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. This is so important. Okay? Blasphemeo is the word that he uses. It's the word for blaspheme. In other words, here's what happens, right? What the world believes about God, they often see through the character of the people that call themselves followers of God. And so older women are to be reverent beyond reproach. They have the experience and the wisdom, right? God has worked his work in them. And so they're to pass it on to the younger women because there's a problem in the church with the younger women. Okay? This is in this church. This is in every church. Is they don't live these lifestyles. That's why there's a need to teach the younger women. And it blasphemes the word of God. Okay? It blasphemes the word of God. Why should the world believe God if by your actions you demonstrate unbelief in what you do? Right? And you guys have heard me say this a million times. What you do reveals what you believe about God regardless of what you say. And so the world is watching our mothers. The world is watching our husbands. The world is watching our relationships. And they're looking for an opportunity to accuse the church. They're looking for an opportunity to accuse God. And so if you don't have these attributes in your heart, if they aren't taught to the younger generation, then we will not see mothers loving their husbands. We will not see mothers loving their children. We will not see sensibility. We will not see purity. We will not see dedication to home building and kindness and submission. And so Paul says these things are so important because if you don't, then it makes God look like a liar. Okay? We don't play church. You've heard that a million times from me. We don't play church. We don't come in here and pretend. We don't try to act pious. We don't try to be something that we're not. But what God says is there's a resource in these older women. There is a thing that he has filled them up with that they are now ready to pour out to the younger women to edify the church, but also to build their relationships. Because if these things are practiced and taught and learned well, the word of God will not be blasphemed. Not only will the mothers be honored, but God will be honored. Okay? I was talking about this morning just briefly. It's very important. Just talking about Exodus 20:12. Jesus says, or God says, honor your father and mother. Right? It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they're good or they're perfect. Or they're efficient, or they're loving. Because let's face it, there are a lot of mothers and fathers in this world that are not. But God says, that doesn't matter. I was not golfing on the back nine the day that I gave you your mother and your father. I make no mistakes. There are no accidents in the universe. And so he says, we honor them because we honor him by honoring them. In other words, what we are saying is that we believe you, God, that you are in control and that you know what you're doing. And so we honor our mothers and fathers because you commanded us to, because we believe you. And so you can see children in here, and probably everybody's a child, I'm assuming, since it's the only way to get on this earth. If you do not honor your mother and father, that blasphemes the word of God also and is a bad testimony to the people outside the church. With me? Well, that person says they believe Jesus, but I see how they treat their mother. God's a phony. Now, I'm not going to go into depth about each attribute. We don't have that much time left, but I just want to touch on a few of them here. Some of them that I think are important. Some of them that I repeat a lot in counseling. Okay, good stuff. And all the older women here, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is why this is so solid. All the older women in here, when I start talking about these things, they're going to be like, oh, okay? They've written it down a million times. Paul says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. So what do we teach that's good, right? First thing that he says is so that they may encourage, and actually the word here really isn't encourage. The word here is train. That the older women would train the young women, first off, right off the bat, right out of the chute, to love their husbands. And you're thinking to yourself, whoa, that's a gimme. We can check that one off, right? Ding. I wish we could check that one off. You think, oh, well, that comes naturally. We love our husbands. But the problem is, Paul doesn't use the usual word for love here, okay? Paul used a word called, it's, the name of it is philandros. It doesn't mean love. It means affection, okay? And it's really a strong word for affection. Now, you're thinking to yourself, well, what's the difference? Love, affection, trust me, those two things are miles apart. You can love something and not have affection for it. You can say you love your husband and not have affection for him. Trust me. I deal with couples. Men are the same way. Okay? When you have affection for something, this is over and beyond what love is. Love is fine. I love peanut butter. I do not have affection for it. Okay? I do not have affection for it. And so he's speaking to these women, right? And he's saying, you know what? There's this difference between love and affection. Affection involves more than just acquiescing to your marriage relationship. Acquiescing just simply means that, and I wrote it down here, to consent or to comply passively. Okay? In other words, if you are just living with your husband because God says that you should stay married, and so you're going to stick it out because that's what you're supposed to do, then you do not have affection for your husband. Okay? Simply living together for the sake of some rule that you have in your head about what God says about marriage is not marriage. You understand that? If God's picture in marriage is His relationship, Jesus Christ's relationship to the church, do you want Jesus just to live with you for the sake of it? Or do you want Him to live with you because He loves you and He has affection for you? I ask people all the time, look, would heaven be worth it if Jesus wasn't there? And so people actually stop and think. If you have to think about that question, then you do not have affection for Jesus. Because there's a possibility you could be somewhere without Him and be okay. This is what God and Paul means when he says that, you know what, the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. If you're just simply going along to get along in your marriage, then you're not showing true affection. When you have affection for something in life, you pour yourself into that. Okay? You pour yourself into that. Paul says he poured himself into his believers. Jesus poured himself into us, didn't he? In fact, he poured out all of his blood on the cross for you and me, because not only does he love us, but he has affection for us. He has affection. And that's your example, isn't it, ladies? Your example is Jesus' going to the cross in your submission, in your obedience, in your love, and in your affection. You say, well, you don't know my husband, Sean. I don't have to know your husband. I don't have to know your husband. God doesn't say, hey, love your husband if he's a good guy. He says, the same way I gave you your mothers, I gave you your husband. And I know what I'm doing. Love your husband. These older ladies know that, don't they? Because they look back, especially our widows. They look back, and if they could take some things back, if they could say some things, I guarantee you, they would give everything they had just for 10 minutes to say what they needed to say. Okay? Our older women are the greatest resource in the church. It says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. You see that? You love your husband because you believe God, not because he's a good guy or he's perfect. Okay? You need to develop affection for your husband. Okay? If you're just staying in the marriage because you're going, well, in the same way Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, I'm just going to sacrifice myself. Okay? That's not what God intended for your marriage. It's not what he intended for your marriage. Not just to get along. He wants you to have a fruitful marriage. He wants you to have a happy marriage. And so you have to learn how to give affection. You have to learn how to pour yourself out. Okay? You have to learn to give yourself over to your husband. There's a verse in Psalm 37. I put it here. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. I got it up on the board, right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If your desire, ladies, is to have affection for your husband, then delight yourself in God, and he will put in you that desire. Okay? That verse right there does not mean that God gives you the desires, whatever your desires are. It means that if you delight yourself in God, that he will give you what his desires are in your heart, and you will have affection for your husband. Talk to older couples in the church that truly love each other and talk about affection. I'm telling you, it just oozes out of them. They're not perfect. They still battle. They still have all the same faults they had when they were 30. But they have learned, and this is a precious time in their life. And so what they're going to tell you most of the time is, stop wasting your time on all the little battles and win the war. Okay? And the war is to have affection for your husband. Okay? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Paul says, be sensible. See, that one's pretty self-evident. He wants you to be sensible. In other words, it's quite possible that our younger ladies aren't always sensible. I remember those days. Okay? There were some times. I still think my wife is not sensible sometimes. Okay? But it's okay. Because I have affection for her, man, there's a ton of things I look past now. I mean, it's not that she's at fault. It's just sometimes I want her to be sensible, especially when it's my idea and I want her to agree with me. Okay? Be sensible. You know I'm right, right? Every man that comes to me goes, I just want to be right one time. Give up that battle, buddy. Let's move on to the big war, okay? Because that ain't ever going to happen. That trophy's never going to be on your mantle. The older women are to teach the younger women to be pure. Purity's sake. My gosh, here's a lost thing, isn't it? For purity's sake. Purity, you say, well, what is purity, Sean? What does that mean? Does that mean you have to, like, you know, only wear dresses? No. Listen to this. Listen to what Peter says. This is great. Peter 3, 3 and 4. Peter says, your adornment must not be merely external. Okay? In other words, ladies, moms, it doesn't want your adornment, it doesn't want your beauty just to be on the outside. Okay? That only lasts for a little while. As our older mothers could tell you, hey, we all could wear a bikini at 20, but it ain't happening at 60. Okay? This is the way it works. And so if you do not have this inside beauty, look what he says. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding of the hair, wearing of gold jewelry, putting on dresses. Now, what Peter isn't saying there, just to admonish you, he's not telling you you can't, okay, he doesn't tell you you have to braid your hair and wear dresses. That's not what he's saying. He's making a comparison. He's making a contrast. Look, don't let everything that you are be on the outside. Let the best part of you, and older mothers know this, be on the inside. Look what he says. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Okay? You're saying that all mothers and women, they got to be gentle and quiet? No. What I'm saying is that when people look at you, when they talk to you, they see your reverent behavior. They see that you're calm in the storms. They see that you have wisdom in chaos. And they see that you have love and compassion in a world of hate. Okay? That's what they see. And that's the beautiful part about moms. That's the beautiful part about mothers. Is they teach this. They teach the younger women to show kindness. Okay? They teach the younger women to be dedicated to to building the home. This one here, I got to tell you, this is discouraging on a worldly note. Since when is being a home builder a dirty word? Really? I mean, think about it. In the world, man, I can't even, I'm saying home builder because I'm afraid to say housewife. It's not politically correct. Oh, you know, you shouldn't call them housewife. They're home administrator, whatever. Okay? The bottom line is God ordained motherhood. God ordained women with a special and unique purpose to raise up the next generation. God put women and mothers in charge of some of the most important people the world has ever known. He believes in what He has done, and He has ordained motherhood for a purpose. He has ordained women to make their primary responsibility to build the home. If they don't, who will? Sometime in the mid-60s, and this isn't a problem, okay? I don't want you to misread me on this. But sometime in the mid-60s, it became important for women to have their own identity and their own career. That's fine. Have your own identity. Have your own career. But don't sacrifice your children, as God says to Israel, for the sake of it. Because that's what's happened. Babysitters became TVs. Moms worked every hour instead of just some. Paul's telling them, the older women know this. Look, you can have a career, you can have your own identity, you can have your own life, but make sure you take care of the one thing that God has said to take care of, the one purpose that you have in life that is greater than any purpose. Mothers who raise up godly children according to Scripture is a more important job than the President of the United States. Which, by the way, some caring and loving and sensible mother raised him. Children are a gift from God. And He has loaned them to you because He trusts you to care for the very children that God created. Okay? And so hear me when I say this. I'm not saying that mothers, you know, have to be in the home. That's not what... I mean, Scripture talks about this all over the place. Mothers aren't chained to the home. They aren't. What He's saying is make your husband and your home your first dedication because this is where the fruit comes from. Your career is great, but that's going to go away. Nobody 100 years from now is going to go, oh, yeah, I remember her. She was a, you know, CEO of a... No. They're going to say, I remember her. Remember she had Bill and John and the daughter Mary? Boy, they were great kids. They had great kids, and they had great kids. Okay? And for the church, they had godly kids, raising up generations for the kingdom of heaven. Paul tells Titus to tell the older mothers, man, you know what? Teach the younger women to love their children, right? But listen, this is the whole point of this passage. This is everything. This is the reason I chose it is because if our younger women, especially in this body, but in the churches overall, in the world overall, if you don't take advantage of the experience and wisdom that our older women have to offer, man, you're making a grave mistake. If you're turning to some book on a shelf on how to help yourself do whatever, you're wasting your time. Okay? God has given you a resource, in the church that is absolutely, I'm telling you, it's absolutely indispensable. Believe me, okay? Hey, I've been counseling for 15 years, biblical counseling. Whenever most women come to me, and you'll know this, one or two women at a time, sometimes during a week or whatever, I always point them to or refer them to other experienced women that we have. There's a lot that I could say. But nobody can care for the younger women like the older women. And so the admonishment to the older women in the church is be that resource. You know what? There's no retirement. There's no such thing as retirement in the church. You may have retired from your occupation, but you haven't retired from that calling that God started way back in Genesis 1:28 for you to be a mother to your children. The only difference is your children have grown up and moved out. but you've moved in with 120 more children. Okay? And so give yourself, pour yourself out. It's so important because the next generations of mothers need it. Obviously, just like Paul said, if the younger mothers were sensible all the time, they would understand this. But they aren't sensible all the time because they need to be taught sensibility. And so you older mothers have to force your way into their life sometimes and help them to be sensible. There's no love like a mother's love. There's no teaching like an older mother's teaching, trust me. Scripture says, I think it's Proverbs 28 says, do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words today. Thank you for our mothers. What a great man. Gosh, if any of us would consider motherhood of less importance, wouldn't it be great, Lord, if by demonstration you could just take every mother that's ever lived out of the equation and see what that looks like. You are tremendous in your creation, Father. You're tremendous in your ordinances. You're tremendous in your word. You're tremendous in your sacrifice. You are so precious to us, Father God, and I just pray that this day that we would remember you in everything, but also remember that you gave us such wonderful mothers and teachers. We thank you for the opportunity today, Father, to fellowship with them, to honor them, and to love them. We pray this in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.